I want to ask you a little bit more about the node positive archetype presentation, because it's very new. You know, it's a different concept, and people, I think, are still kind of scratching their heads about it. If you can talk a little bit more about what they actually saw, I guess the thing that was a little bit, as you mentioned, it looked like, yes, in the low recurrence score patient, there wasn't any benefit from chemo in these node positive patients, but yet those people still had substantial risk of recurrence.
Right. Well, I think that what the result of the trial, of course, showed on average, adding chemotherapy was a good thing. And what they were adding was CAF. And then as broken down for the patients who had low recurrence scores, they still had a substantial risk of recurrence. As I remember, it was somewhere in the range of about 30% at 10 years.
But actually, I guess they reported not just recurrences, though, but there were contralateral cancers, I think other types of deaths. So they weren't able to get, you know, just the pure recurrence data. I think it was actually closer to 40%. But again, I guess the question would be, okay, in spite of that, or in view of that data, you know, maybe we'll need more data, but assuming further data sort of supports that. And as you mentioned, in a way, it's kind of the same theme in terms of, you know, response to chemo. But the question is, to what extent would it be useful in practice? What would be a clinical situation where you might want to get an oncotype in a patient with a node-positive tumor?
Well, I think that obviously the patients who are at low risk for classic pathologic factors might be such a subset. So what we haven't really seen cleanly broken down from the 8814 study is these predictive effects in patients with 1 to 3 nodes versus 4 more nodes. There is a slide that addresses that indirectly, but it really doesn't show it graphically. And the reason why I think it doesn't show it that way is because there are relatively small numbers of patients in these studies. It's about 300 patients. And once you start, you know, using different levels of a factor and you have two different treatments, and then you begin to further break down other prognostic factors, you run out of statistical power. But I think an argument's being developed that the Oncotype DX test might be of value in predicting patients who shouldn't get chemotherapy, who have 1 to 3 nodes. I think the evidence for that is less than completely compelling. The reason for my opinion about that, which runs a little bit against some other opinions, is that there is a study that shows that patients with low numbers of nodes, 1 to 3 nodes, with low Oncotype DX scores do well, but that study actually only has 5 years of follow-up. And so the 5% recurrence risk looks impressive, but actually many recurrences occur after 5 years in ER-positive patients. And so I think that part of the reason why it looks so good is that it has relatively short follow-up, and it does have a wide error bar. We don't really have the data well broken out by nodal group in 8814. So the data may be there, but I don't think it's been convincingly presented as of yet.
And I guess people trying to think forward, or maybe thinking present, I mean, you know, the Oncotype has always been thought of in the patient who's on the fence. So in the node negative situation, if you have a patient who's saying, look, I want chemo, you know, I want anything that's possibly done, or there's no way I'll ever take chemo, then I think people haven't usually utilized the test. And so what I heard in San Antonio, and I've heard the last few months, is, again, as you say, lower risk, like 1 node, for example, older patient, comorbidities, would take chemo if they had to, but, you know, wants a reason to do it, maybe that kind of situation. Does that sound like a kind of clinical scenario we might be starting with?
Right. I think that that is the kind of thing. Basically, what we have is a palette of factors. And what this means is that depending on really some, you know, kind of integrated view of those factors, you can identify a patient along kind of a gradient of risk. The thing that's so interesting about the Oncotype test, and which puts it on that palette in a powerful way, is that the relative risk conferred, high versus low, for an Oncotype score is very strong. It's not like a small less than 2 factor. It's a very strong factor. And the other thing which I think is attractive about the Oncotype score is that although much of it is driven by things like proliferation, and you could argue that grade is largely driven by proliferation, so why not use grade? But the oncotype assay is, I think, more reproducible one case to the next than grade. And so it takes that additional variable out of the equation and is one of the attractive features of the assay.